was a blessing. If you walk in here and, well, if you were a little bit down and you can't get lifted up by that song, then somebody's not praying enough, because, boy, that sure was good. Thank you, Sam. Thanks, Kayla. Thanks, everybody that, you know, helps out like that. That's appreciated. It's part of that bond that, you know, Christians have, and it makes life better. And, you know, it just, that brings a little joy to my heart to see young men like that and young ladies continue. And in this, you know, when we look at the bleak future, it gives us a little hope. Because in the darkest of times, Christ's light always shines forth, and it shines forth in the young people that still love Him and still serve Him. So that's a blessing, and I'm grateful for that today. And with that, we'll get some prayer requests. As there's always a lot to pray about, pray for me. I'm scared to death being up here again, so that's always get up here and get... Don't ask me how I did that, but I'll have to know not to get animated with my hands. Sorry about that. And all right, some prayer requests. Anybody? Already? Anybody over here? Okay. She been back in and out again, or? Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's, yeah. Those repeat visitors are just awful.
Right. And had some surgery done, and she's recovering, and in phase 6 to 8 weeks. So, praying that the Lord will help her recover really quickly and get a peace of mind.
Yeah, amen to that. Eddie? Danny doing?
Still
in limbo on that? All right, well, I remember that in prayer then. So is he in the Ukraine, or he's still in Warsaw? Or, okay. Yeah, boy, that's just a mess now. All right. Kayla, did you hear? You said Brent?
Yeah, Brent.
All right, I'll pray for him. Those things, you never, when you don't know what it is, and yeah, well, that's what happens when you forget to duck when the wife throws that frying pan at you, you know. Always remember to duck when the arm goes back. I learned that a long time ago. That's why I'm bald. There's a long story with that. All right, anybody else? Any other prayer requests? Yeah, amen. Let's pray for Pastor and his family over there in Australia. All right, Brother Glenn, you want to lead us in prayer this morning, please? All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And I guess everybody, we all have our favorite passages and ones that are of special meaning to us that have got us through times and hard times and troubles. And this is just one of those that comes to mind more and more so in this this time that we're in. So in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessed word. I ask that you bless our pastor as he travels. And I think it's Brother Mike as he comes up this morning. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. All right, this is, again, one of my favorite verses in the Bible in times of worry and stress and fear and heartache. And because David's action has always been a great comfort to me and reminds me of how I'm to act when I get to feeling down. And in spite of all that was going on in David's life and the things that happened afterward, and you think about his life, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And a lot of times, you know, somebody can kind of cheer you up, or if you're running down through the dumps, as we all are want to do in this life, you know, sometimes you just got to grab yourself by the bootstraps and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And if you remember that, boy, that just, David encouraged himself. So I'll start, you know, reciting some verses or singing some songs, and pretty soon I come out of those doldrums and I'm getting ready the poor me's, and my wife always tells me, you know, shut up and take it, be tough. And but you know what, like David was tough, but you encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And you know, on November 6th I needed a lot of encouragement, I'll tell you what. So the title of this lesson is, how did this nation get so messed up? And I'm a history buff, you know that. I love history and looking back at it, and I wanted to take just a brief insight on the election so we can maybe glean a little from it. And I had hoped Romney would win. I mean, you know, it's the lesser of two evils, Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B. And I was in that hotel that night in utter anguish, didn't sleep. I told myself I wouldn't turn on the TV or look at any of the bulletin boards and watch it. And I failed. I didn't sleep all night. I was just, how can America be so stupid? I mean, not just stupid, a new level of stupid. I've talked about how low we got. And we know that America's spiritually, morally, and financially in the toilet. Nobody's going to argue that. And, you know, and I looked at, you know, well, why, God? And in 2008, you know, the stupid party ran a Republican liberal with a pretty but naive Alaskan governor that energized the conservative base that hated the liberal presidential candidate. And it didn't work. You know, McCain had all the appeal and charisma of wet socks. It wasn't a good idea. So in 2012, the Wizards of Smart and the Republican Party nominated Romney, who lost to McCain in 2008, and expected a different result, who lost to Obama. And, you know, with the economy in a shambles and a complete stooge as a leader, how can this thing happen? And you know, I started looking and studying and looking at demographics, and you know, we know that there was a lot of vote fraud, especially Ohio, Florida, and Wisconsin, and I'm sure that played a good part of it. The second was the changing demographics of the nation. If you sit there and, you know, face palm as much as I do and look at it, if you analyze the birth-death ratios, the number of people that die, most of those people, a lot of them older conservative people, versus what's being born, you have about a 1.7 million to 2 million birth rate over the year. So every year you have 1.7 to 2 million people graduating from high school, coming out of the public education system, and who are looking at potential college, and who's promising them the freebies? Not too hard to figure out who they're going to vote for. So in the 4 years between 2008 and 2012, you had about 6.7 million people graduate, and probably 5 million of those are voting for Obama. So you wonder what happened? What happened there? There's another portion right there. Another part that sank the Republicans in there was their treatment of Ron Paul. And, you know, a lot of us here were Ron Paul guys, and, you know, and certainly I was. But when, if you look at how they treated them in the Republican National Convention, like lepers. So instead of adopting, endorsing the message of freedom, limited government, controlled spending, they kicked him out to the curb. And when they did that, they lost the most intelligent and probably the most godly portion of their base. The stupid party has a well-deserved name. And then, so what did they do? They ran a Catholic guy as vice president, who was a lifelong politician, a Mormon liberal as a president, a guy that wears magic underwear with Masonic emblems emblazoned on the chest. Go look it up. Look up Mormon magic underwear. It looks like a 1920s swimsuit, and they got a square on one chest and a compass on the other. A guy that believes that women stay eternally pregnant on the, you know, planet Colo, bearing spirit children. A guy that thinks that Jesus Christ and spirit, or and Satan, are spirit brothers. So what happened? The evangelicals stayed home. They said, uh-uh, not happening. That was a part of it. Rush had a great analysis. You can't compete with Santa Claus and the Democratic Party's Santa Claus. You know, it was the free stuff Fandango campaign versus working hard to better yourself. You know, you think about it. Food stamps, Obama phones, scare the seniors, and the useful idiots in the press combined with an American Idol addicted, spiritually blind, narcissistic Facebook junkie populace, and it led to a predictable result. So the stupid party is now figuring out what went wrong. Oh, okay, now guess what? Let's legalize all the aliens. That's what they're going to do, and that's why you see Marco Rubio, the Hispanic governor, legalize all the illegal aliens. Okay, let's do that. Guess what? You look at the demographics. 95% of black people are going to vote for Democrats. 76% of Asians vote for Democrats. And 99% of Muslims will, and 75% of any Hispanic will vote for Democrats. And I said, well, what's the main core? Free stuff. You can't compete with Santa Claus. You wonder why we lost it there. And what probably annoys me the most is now I got to look at the president's wife that looks like a Wookiee, who has himself nominated herself to be the chief of the school lunch program. And they wonder why the kids are throwing stuff out. You think about all the kids in public schools. Cheeseburgers, right? Pizzas. Think about what we grew up in public schools on, you know, tater tots, stuff like that. And you're trying to give them apples and hummus and bean curd on salad? This stuff looks like BB poop and it smells bad too. They're not going to eat it. And the wizards are smarter, wondering why the kids are throwing their school lunches out and then they're going hungry and they're actually losing weight. You can't fix stupid. But I can't begin to think, what happened, God? So I opened the answer book as I was sitting there in that hall. I said, all right, you got to help me. A, I need some sleep, and B, I just don't get this. All right, Daniel 2, verse 21. Let's look at Daniel 2 and verse 21 and found this comfort. Like I said, it was a bad night for me. I did a lot of praying, quite a bit of weeping, and, you know, in anguish over our great country. And then I got to remind myself, okay, Daniel 2, 21, and he, not us, changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So Daniel, or God's the one that sets that thing up. Now hold that and flip back to Jeremiah. Let's go Jeremiah 27 and verse 5. Jeremiah 27, 5. All right, I have made the earth, the man and the beasts that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arms, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And after that one, I thought, okay, God, you're getting somewhere here. I'm getting it. And then look over, finally, let's look at Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7. All right, Psalm 75, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from what? The west, east, nor the west, from the west, not from the south, or nor from the south. Gosh, my flies are bad. But the God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And after looking at those, I'm thinking, okay, you know what, God, you're still in control. And, you know, perhaps maybe this is exactly the kind of leader this country deserves. It really is. And 50% of what this country loves, I mean, they love this guy. And I'm scratching my head, and I say, you know what? What happened? If we love this, what does America love? And I'm going to look at, you know, what America loves. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 8, 36. Does it love freedom? Does it love liberty? Does it love God? Oh, no. Look at Proverbs 8 and verse 36. All righty. Proverbs 8:36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all them that hate me love death. America loves death. Our culture is steeped in it, from the video games that the kids are playing to the movies. I mean, how many shows of CSI and all these other, I mean, there are so many murder, mystery, who did it, chop them up, find the forensic evidence shows. America loves death, but you know what they love even more than that stuff? They love abortions. Since 72, when they legalized Roe v. Wade, America has killed 55 million Americans in this country. 55 million. Hitler only took out 38 million during World War II. He was an amateur compared to Planned Parenthood. The entire death toll of World War II was about 60 million. And that's kind of faded, you know, in the fog of war back then. But by 2016, when this term ends, the abortions will have surpassed the entire death toll of World War II. And it will be all done legally. Psalms 106, verse 34. Psalms 106, verse 34. America loves death. All right, I'll start in verse 35 rather. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Sound familiar? And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils. And I realize this is Israel. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their own, of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. 55 million and counting, folks. Our land is polluted with blood. This health care bill, your tax dollars now pay for this stuff on demand. At the DNC election, they were not only denying God, we don't want God as a part of our platform, they were saying, people were wearing t-shirts that said, I heart abortion, and I had an abortion, and these radical lesbians were proud of this stuff. I mean, America loves death. All right, what else does America love? I'm just a bundle of joy this morning, ain't I? And but you know what? This is true. We need to examine history so we don't repeat the lessons of the past, but at least then we know where we're going in the future. All right, now look at verse 39. Stay on the same page. And they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. My old pastor used to say a Southerner wrote the Bible because they went a-whoring, or I'm going a-fishing, or whatever. You put the Southerners to put that A in front of it. But that word a-whoring is mentioned 18 times in the Bible. And you know, only one time it is connected with inventions. The other 17 times, it's mostly connected with idol worship and things of that nature. But you know, America goes whoring with its inventions. And we're addicted to it. You think about it. You look at the electronics. You got your TV, cable TV, satellite TV, satellite radio, the internet, Xbox, PlayStation, notebooks, laptops, desktops, smartphones, Obama phones, tablet computers, iPods, iPads, and iPhones, make one that is iPoor in spirit, and in wallet. Americans love this. Chinese made crap more than they love God. And most of the inventions are mind-sucking wonder machines that have helped create a nation of fat, lazy, hyper-texting, Facebook-posting narcissists who have a hatred of hard work and an entitlement mentality. All you got to do is look at what America has turned into. They love their inventions. You want to get robbed in Chicago, young people? Go walking around with an iPhone and a couple of, or your iPod and your earbuds in. You ladies, when you go walking or running or anything like that, I see young ladies all over with, you know, they've got a $300 item on their belt and they're oblivious to what's going around. You talk about a total failure in perceiving what is around you. People are stupid. You want to make yourself a target? That's a good way to get a mugging, is walk around with one of those things in public view. All right, because Americans love their inventions. All right, now let's go back to Genesis 27, verse 4. Look at what else America loves. Now, if you've got one of those things, I'm not railing on you. Everybody's got, I mean, a lot of that's part of our life. So before you think, oh, he hates all electronics. No, you know, my wife's got an iPhone. I'm just, you know how it means when you carry other things out of balance. So I probably better get a qualifying clause before I get something thrown at me. But Genesis 27, verse 4. But I learned how to duck. All right, Genesis 27, 4. All right, this is the first mention of love. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. So here we have Jacob in the first mention of love in the Bible, and is what? Has to do with a man's belly. And that law first mentioned in the Bible always says that, you know, the first time that something is mentioned in the Bible, special insight is usually... You can apply a peculiar trait known to men about that. Americans love their bellies. You know, we are the fattest nation in the entire planet. Literally, I mean, the fattest nation on the planet. I mean, I think one little Micronesia, or, you know, some one of those nations that you barely can see, much less know where it's at on the map, is fatter. No, they're number two. And because with that, we're one of the sickest. Americans love their bellies. And you know what? God's going to change that if we have another drought like we did last summer. There's going to be a real awakening come to this land. You think you're going to find beef or chicken or poultry? Because most of the cattle herds have been liquidated. Next year is going to be something to behold. But Americans love their bellies. All right, let's look over at 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. All right. All right, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and which some have coveted after, and they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, Americans love money more than anything. And, you know, my old Sunday school teacher used to say, America's God is money. And what they'll do is they'll, when God gets ready to whip a nation up, he kicks those false gods to the curb, just like he did in Egypt. And you think about the official debt that we've got, $16 trillion. You know, that's about $145,000 a taxpayer. That's if you use the figure of 110 million working. The unofficial debt is $200 trillion, all the unfunded promises. So every taxpayer in America owes $2 million to fund the unfunded promises. America's love is money, so it's not too hard to see what's coming down the pike when you do the math. And so, well, a single mother, just give you in America, makes $29,000. With all the Obama benefits and all that stuff, she's better off staying single and collecting all the benefits than a married couple making $70,000. That's where America's gotten to. You can get more on the welfare state than you can with two people working hard to make a decent living. So why is America such a train wreck, and why am I wailing on it? We as a nation have forgotten God. And you know what it says there? We're going to get turned into hell. We've forgotten God. America loves death, abortions, and invention, and food, and money more than it does love God. And you're wondering, what's my point, but other than I'm ticked off and the way the election results came by, is that to go back through history a bit, and how did we get to such a pathetic state? I mean, what happened? You know, when our country was founded, you have the government that you see and the shadow government that ran parallel with a different purpose. And on one hand, you had a country founded by godly men, and on the other hand, you had a country that was running the beliefs of Lucifer is God, a shadow government, and the banking system. And over the time, the one side began to wax more and more powerful. The shadow government is Luciferian in its belief, and it's trying to bring back what? His return. They want the Antichrist to come here. They think he's really the God. And their Ten Commandments are on the Georgia Guidestones if you want to look that up and see what they believe and see what the future holds. And what else happened in America? We can pinpoint some things, and most of us can go back to 1962 and 1963, and that's when things dramatically changed. In 62, prayer was removed from the public schools. In 1963, the Bible was removed. And you can see America went downhill right there, and rightly so. And if you look at statistics of charts, rape, suicide, abortion, murder, divorce, crime, the prison population, everything exploded upwards on a linear curve, and there's not been a dip since then. And that's the long result of a campaign of subversion by enemies. And one thing Americans forget in history is that in the end of McCarthyism in 1953, and those of you who have been around a little bit longer remember McCarthy and the witch hunts that he had for the communists. You know, those weren't witch hunts. McCarthy was a dedicated and devout Roman Catholic, kind of like JFK was, to America. And he screamed from the rooftops that our nation was infiltrated with communists from the courts to Congress. And he was squashed by Eisenhower and stomped like a bug. McCarthy died in 59 as a rampant alcoholic. But his cry was washed out by Ike back in 53. And he was ridiculed. It's just a witch hunt. Now you look at it. Guess what? In 1950s, Hollywood was filled with communists. Most of them are. Does Hanoi Jay come to remembrance or anything like that? And McCarthy is still ridiculed to this day. If you remember Alan West of Florida, the black conservative Republican, that he kept calling Obama a socialist, and they harped on him and harped on him. The press called him a McCarthyite and a ghost of McCarthy, and he was defeated. He was honest, and he was right. And one thing Lenin and Stalin learned was that it's very hard and expensive to take and force statism on another country. You can't do that. Hitler tried it. And for a very short period, he was successful with most of Western Europe until the United States and Russia and Britain allied and bombed them back into the Stone Age. The communists are not dumb people. They took this lesson under consideration, and they implemented their own plan. And since World War II, they learned that statism or communism can't be forced successfully, especially when your other country has more nuclear weapons than you do. So they knew that that wasn't going to work without tremendous cost, and that success was certainly not guaranteed. So then it was determined that subversion is the more preferred method for undermining and destroying a country. Now let's look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 10 for a second. Go to Titus chapter 1. And verse 10. Titus 1:10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, at this point, I could jump onto a long rabbit trail and talk about Jewish, Jesuit, banking cabals, the circumcision, all that stuff, subversion going on. But the point is, subversion is an art that has been going on since before the Bible. And it is simply an activity designed to destroy a religious, political, or economic system. And usually all together. To topple governments, to topple nations, to topple ideologies, it is done through subversion. And Hollywood makes subversion a James Bond type of adventure. You know, you think about that. I mean, and how wildly successful those movies have been, with high-tech spies and KGB goal is out to steal military secrets and drive fancy cars with pretty girls and all that stuff, and then things blow up, and the bad guys use the stolen information to obtain the death weapon, and then the hero rides to the rescue in a Maserati or something and saves the day. You know, that's all fine and good for movies, but the actual cost dollars of espionage in the Cold War era and going on right now to this day is only about 15% of the budget. So in any budget to subvert a country, about 15% of the money is spent in actual espionage, in stealing the secrets, like the bribes they gave to Clinton so that he would sell our missile technology to the Chinese. And if you realize how much their military's advanced, then it would be it'd be staggering. But the other 85% is not spent on weapon systems and things like that. It is simply spent on funding groups that already hate the country they're in. It is overt. You can see it. It's legitimate. It is easily observable. A subverter isn't that James Bond type. He's a student. He's a teacher. He's an actress. Hanoi Jane, for instance. He's a musician. Look at any of these popular musicians these days. They're as left-wing. You know, the guys I grew up with, Springsteen and Mellencamp and some of these older things, and you look at some of these, they are left-wing, hardcore, pro-socialist Democrats right now. Clinton, for instance, it's the KGB member that emigrated from the Ukraine or from Russia to become a professor. It's a student passing out literature. Back when I was at Purdue, there was always communists there passing out literature, even at Purdue Cal, at that podunk little school. Those are subversion agents, and it only works when there's a receptive target. You have to have a two-way street. The communists use our very liberties in America against us, and it goes back to Sun Tzu, the ancient Chinese philosopher, and to implement state, this is what he said, to implement state policy in war is most inefficient. Hitler tried this, and the highest art of warfare is not to fight, but rather to subvert. So that, let me get this quote right, so that your perception, the nation's perception of reality, is so screwed up, the enemy cannot be even seen as an enemy, and the entire culture is hijacked. The American culture, Americans, you think about it, we used to all be Americans. Didn't care if you were black, white, Indian, Asian. People wanted to come here to be what? An American, because we were something special, godly, unique. Our culture's been subverted. So much so that what? The norm. Women wear, I had an abortion, or I love my abortion t-shirts in this country. Subversion only works by demoralization. You say, well, what is demoralization? That's this act that the Russians and the Chinese, and they all know, to demoralize a society. And that takes about 15 to 20 years. Well, why that long? Because it's a generation. Because once you brainwash one generation, and they're pretty much young skulls full of mush, what are they going to produce? Young skulls full of mush. You're going to have deviancy defined downward with every preceding generation. So that philosophy is from martial arts. Now, and I'm not no expert or anything like that, but what's the principle? Jackson could tell me that, right? If somebody throws a punch at you, okay, somebody is much bigger. Let's say Nolan wants to throw a punch at me. That's going to hurt because I'm a little guy, and Nolan's a great big tall guy with a lot longer reach. So my only hope is either A, draw faster than he can, or B, run away, which is always good, or maybe I can take that punch. See, Nolan's already taking force and energy towards me, right? He is directing energy and force towards me. So if I stand there and take it, it's going to hurt. But if I can grab his arm, and since his body and his weight and his forward momentum is already going in a direction, usually to the left of the culture, right, I can just give him a little pull, help him along, and help maybe dump him into the wall so I can run away. All right? And no, not picking on Nolan. He was just the biggest guy I could see standing above the crowd. So So, brother, I was just, anyway. So, but that's what they did. Now, you think about that. Take about all these groups within a society. You have Greenpeace, Environmental, Sierra Club, Ranger Rick, NAMBLA, Communist Party, Black Panthers, Now, the Now Gang, the Gay Rights Movement, PETA, the NAACP, La Raza, Parents and PFLAG, Communists, Planned Parenthood, Disney, Unions, Hollywood, all these splinter groups, all right, working in the same general direction to derail the country from its founding principles. Every single one of these groups has already ticked off a railing about something. So by giving them a little funding and helping their forward momentum already, what do? You get the goal and task. So they were wildly successful. The removal of the Bible from our public schools was by subversion. By subversion. Those people that were doing that, you think about it, it was a small minority. The smaller groups on that list, and literally hundreds of others, get a major funding portion of their funding from Soros, Buffett, Turner, Bill Gates, the Disney Corporation, and corporations that have an agenda beyond profits. And the agenda comes first, even more so than profits. Look at Disney. I mean, it was a family company that produced 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Davy Crockett, Old Yeller, Swiss Family Robinson, Apple Dumpling Gang, Donald Duck, Chippendale, Goofy. Cartoons that were pretty much family fun. They really, you couldn't find a whole lot of bad stuff in there. And then they started to drift into the whole occult side with the cartoons and that, and, you know, that were shadowy, but largely family-friendly. And now it's the biggest media empire in the world, and they own ABC under the leadership of Michael Eisner. They've become the biggest TV promoter of the homosexual movement. Look at that show. They advertise 666 as one of their shows. I mean, that's what it is. It's the address of a place, and it's just one complete trash program, but it is a pro-gay, completely immoral program schedule. That is an example of a morally subversive corporation. And most of the time, if you go down there and you take your kids and the little hand that's sitting there taking a picture with Johnny or whatever, the dude behind the suit is a queer. One of the guys worked with me a few years back. There were places he wouldn't go in that corporation because it wasn't safe to be a straight white male there. It was not safe. So you have the targets for subversion. Religion. Now, the communists knew this. If you can destroy and ridicule religion, replace it with cults, the Bible's helped foment that, but that's another study, erode your religious dogma and doctrine. But the goal is to break the contact with God. That's what they wanted to do, break contact with God. Distract and attract to something, anything but God. And that was the destruction of traditional Protestant Christianity that we have. It was subverted by guys like Rick Warren and these New Age Bible Greek-thumping clowns that are promoting an agenda that is deeper than what we see. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm running short on time and long on notes. The educational system, instead of math, physics, chemistry, you change that with now what? Social workers, psychology, urban studies, organizing the community, gay and lesbian studies, and the educational system is now an indoctrination system into socialism. 1 Timothy 4:3 says what? They'll heap into themselves teachers, so that the teacher now is held in higher regard than a pastor. Let me give you this one. Anybody know where Butler University is? You know where that's at, right? Okay, here we go. A political science professor in there, this is at Butler, says that if you're going to go in this class, Americanness, maleness, whiteness, heterosexuality, middle class status is to be avoided when speaking or writing in the classroom because, you have to replace that with inclusive language. Because it's a fundamental issue of social justice. So you can't speak or write in Americanness, maleness, whiteness, heterosexuality, or middle class status because it's against social justice. Sounds fancy on the terms. People are paying for this. Your tax dollars and student loans are paying for this. So what happened to America? We're nuts. All right, language. Here, now here's the definition of social justice and inclusiveness. Language that is truly inclusive affirms sexuality, racial and ethnic backgrounds, stages of maturity. All you Christian Bible thumpers are immature juveniles. And degrees of limiting conditions. Guess who wrote that definition? The United Church of Christ. Eh, lovely. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? All right, so you destroy education system, and it's been largely co-opted. It really has. All right, social life. You replace your traditionally institutions. You replace your churches. You replace the things in the foundations with what? Artificial systems, social workers, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, peer groups, social networks, and your traditional interaction between people to solve problems between themselves is destroyed. If Glenn and I have a problem, Glenn and I are going to sit there and, hey, you know, we got an issue. We need to talk about this and try to work things out like two normal, reasonable men would, right? Oh, no. I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to trash talk the guy because I'm a juvenile twit. I'm not going to do that, all right, because I like Glenn. But what does America do? Jump on Facebook. The traditional methods of communication are destroyed. That's the whole guy idea. So you get a mediator, lawyer, government agency, you bring it in, look at divorce, custody in the country, all right? It's a bizarre world out there in social networking. All right, the military and police, how do you destroy the culture? You get this hatred between the military, the police, and the people. The war on drugs has been a war on the American people, by and large. You realize how much, about a third of our prison population is just by simple pot smokers that are dumb? Really, they're not a violent group. You seldom meet, and not that I'm advocating pot smoking or anything like that. But when you make this three strikes policy, with no exceptions, you are imprisoning people at a tremendous cost and wrecking a life of somebody that's just probably not the sharpest hack in the box, that's maybe got some, you know, a bad run on luck or going through a bad time in life. This is nuts. So where the cops hate the people now, the people hate the cops. This is all part of the plan. This is another step of undermining the foundations and pinnings of a civilized nation. Then you look at the labor relations. You undermine that. You know, the trade unions concept, it was founded by the communists. They started this thing. If you're part of a union, I'm not going to rip on you or anything like that. Nothing like that. Hey, it was a necessary thing, you know, because the corporations really treated their people like slaves back in the day, and at time they did work. But like anything, a good idea that's gone berserk is the public sector unions. You look at Illinois. Their unfunded pension liabilities are $85 billion. Every person in Illinois owes $25,000 just to pay the public sector unions. It's not feasible, folks. It's a solution that's gone way too overboard. Look at Hostess. They killed the Twinkie. Not that I love Twinkies that bad, but come on, they killed the Twinkie. You know they had 372 different collective bargaining agreements that they had to abide by from the unions? That the Twinkie dude and the Wonder Bread guy couldn't work together to load a truck? The Wonder Bread guy couldn't handle the Twinkies, the Twinkie guy couldn't handle the Wonder Bread, and they wonder why they went bankrupt? This is another case of stupid. They cut their throat, their own throat. So the Twinkie and the Ho-Ho are dead. Come on, people. Somebody's got to get a clue with that. And then government. You replace your traditional government. How do you do this? With established principles in the media. Who elected the media? Who elected the media? Nobody. What does everybody turn to get their opinions from? The media. CNN, are you really going to believe those nitwits? You know, 95% of the people you see on TV are left-wing socialists. They are all Democrats. They have an agenda. Then you replace them with an agency. So our government, so instead of a representative government, we have who? Who represents your fishing? The DNR. Who elected the DNR? We didn't. They tell me how many I can catch and what I got to do with it and the size of the hook. It drives me crazy. The EPA, look at the rules coming down from them. IDEM, the FBI, the IRS, DEA, NEA, DCFS, TSA, all these alphabet soup agencies result in where we are now in this country, which is destabilization. You have conflict. You have teachers versus students, labor versus employees, government versus taxpayers, environmentalists versus capitalists. You have an antagonistic society, and we're here as a nation. And then that's where we're at right now. Next step is crisis. When a society can't function, it collapses, and that's when you seek a savior. What do they call savior? Some of those guys, they were saying, my lord and savior, Barack Obama. You ever hearing about that one? They want a strong man, a strong government, a savior is needed. This crisis leads to a civil war or an invasion. Now here's the ironic part. Once this capitulation has happened and that strong man, the new government, the leader, the self-appointed rulers, no longer need the destabilizers. Look at Egypt. Okay, let's get out the strongman dictator. Okay, they did that. Guess what they got in? The Muslim Brotherhood. It's always worse, all right? So, and guess what happens? Those destabilizers, there's the radicals, the sleepers, the activists, the sodomites, the Marxists. You know what happens to them? They get taken out back and they get a bullet in the head. Why? They're useful idiots. That's what they call them. You think your news media is going to be safe and in the bag that they're going to, they'll go out and they'll get a bullet in the head, just like everybody else does that goes against the new thuggery that it will devolve in the system. So what happened to America? We were just subverted. We decayed from within. All right. I'll just read this to you. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For what? From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lascivious, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within a man and defile the man. When the man is defiled, the country follows. The Cold War never ended when Berlin fell. You want to find out what happened? Look at the Perestroika Deception. Very fascinating book by the ex-KGB agents. And just as Israel fell, I get ahead of myself, the communist movement just morphed into your Greenpeace. Your environmentalists are all communists. Hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool communists. You give money to the Sierra Club or you buy Ranger Rick, you're supporting a communist movement. Canceled my Ranger Rick a long time ago when I found out they were part of the Sierra Club. I feel bad that I ever had a thing for the man, but they had cute magazines, right? How many kids grew up seeing Ranger Rick? You were funding the Sierra Club the whole time, a subversive organization. Makes me mad. I want my refund. All right, just as Israel fell from their fabulous wealth, look what happened to us in the 50s. We have fallen from our fabulous wealth and prosperity. The communists that McCarthy warned about are in power now in your universities, your judges, your states, and your cities. The communists pushed the right groups in the directions they were heading. And while we have a Saul Alinsky-trained Marxist in the White House with the full backing of the press that did everything they could to cover his past, they masked the steps of the future and spike any bad story about him. When you think of JFK, what do you think of? What thing comes to JFK besides the assassination? The Cuban Missile Crisis, right? And we know why JFK was probably assassinated, because he was going to go back to a sound money system, all right? The Cuban Missile Crisis. His claim to greatness was the Cuban Missile Crisis. We almost went to war. Russian freighters were coming over with missiles, our Navy. We were on the brink of really ready to go at some very nasty things. Planes were in the air. The birds were ready to go hot. It was about to get, Moscow was going to glow, and so was New York. The whole thing was about to go very, very bad. Kennedy didn't blink. Everybody regards him as a hero for that, right? Let me give you a quote from Vladimir Putin. It's no secret that in recent years, the U.S. has created a buffer zone around Russia, involving this process that not only involves the countries of Central Europe, but also the Baltic states, the Ukraine, and the Caucasus. See, because what we've been doing with all the Russians and the satellite states in Ukraine, you know, we've been putting in our anti-ballistic missile systems in the guise of stopping terrorism. No, we haven't. Our nation's been surrounding Russia. Why? Because they've got the biggest nuclear arsenal on the planet now, with anti-ballistic missile systems, because guess who else has the biggest oil supplies in the world and untapped resources? Russia. The Russians aren't stupid. They learned a lesson. Hitler said he was moving all his armies to the Polish border to get away from English bombers. And guess what happened to them? They about got obliterated in World War II. They said, not happening again. Back to the quote. In Cuba, there are convenient bays for our reconnaissance and warships and a so-called network of jump airfields. With the full consent of the Cuban government, on May 11th this year, our country has not only resumed work in the Electronic Center of Lourdes, but we have also placed the latest mobile strategic nuclear missiles, OAK, on the island. They did not want to talk in an amicable way. Now let them deal with this. Look up Topol M. That is the OAK. It is a 10-warhead MIRV system, and they are all over Cuba. They are 90 miles from our shore. Nobody in the press, not the Asian press, not the American press, nowhere. It's the Russian Times. Putin said this. And I don't doubt the guy. I mean, there's probably a boatload of warheads 90 miles from our shore. What's the purpose of that? You can't stop them. They come in at a low trajectory and they can take out every city before the radar systems even hit. Why? Missiles go high, then you pick them up, and then you can intercept them. Not a word was said. Why? Because it would damage Obama in the 2000 election, that we have lots of thermonuclear missiles 90 miles from our shore. In the last year, remember, they launched a sub off of California. There was a missile launch right there off of San Francisco. The Russians just had one of their Akulas in our Gulf of Mexico for a month. Guess what? We didn't detect it. Good move, guys. All right? The Chinese, they have the Panama Canal. Carter gave that to them. The Russians are marketing missile systems now. You ever look at those big shipping containers? You go to any of the ports? You know, they've got the Ishkar, their missile is fantastic. It's amazing. It's in a shipping container. The sides drop and the roof falls off. It looks like any pile of Chinese stuff that you've seen. They market it that way. You can't tell the difference until the payload's inside. All right, Psalms 106. In verse 39, it says, "Thus they were defiled with their own works, went whoring with their own inventions. Therefore the wrath of God was kindled against his people, insomuch that that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they hated them that ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity." America, what happened? We were subverted. We were subverted from within, and we rotted from within. We need to pray that America repents and get your house in order, because things are going to get real interesting in the near future. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I ask that you bless the pastor as he comes and brings a message this morning. And I bless our pastor in Australia that you give him safe traveling mercies and a rested spirit. And we look forward to seeing him. And most of all, Lord, we look forward to seeing you when you come back. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.